Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome, welcome, wherever you are. Hope that you're having a great day. Wherever you are going, whatever you are doing and getting ready for the weekend, and we're in the spring, we're thinking all things spring cleaning, and today I want to talk about a little spring cleaning, but not for your house, maybe for your family. We are going to talk to Rodney Gage today. He is a pastor, a speaker, and a parent teen coach. He has spoken to more than 2 million students, 2 million students in public schools, and he is the author of 8 books, including the book that I want to talk about today. It's called Family Shift, The 5-Step Plan to Stop Drifting and Start Living with Greater Intention, and it is co-written with his wife, Michelle. He and his wife have been married for more than 32 years. They have 3 adult kids. They have 2 sons-in-laws, and they live in Orlando, Florida. Rodney, welcome to the Dr. Nurse and Mama Show. We're so excited for you to share your hope for healthy families with us today.
Thank you, Jessica. It's an honor to be a part of the show. Looking forward to our conversation.
Well, listen, I want to start with a story that you share in the book. And I actually have heard your brother speak before and share this story. It's a story about transformation. It's a really good story, a story that demonstrates with God all things are possible. And it's a story about a boy named Freddie. And I'm just going to let you take it from there, Rodney.
Well, that boy named Freddie is not me. It is my father, and my father was a miracle story. You used the word transformation is truly the key to his life, and God used him to help other people experience that same transformation that he and my mother both encountered. My dad, unfortunately, he was pretty much raised on the streets of Houston, Texas, and pretty much raised himself, lived in the back of a bar that his grandfather owned, and became a street gang leader, drug addict, and he had a multi-page police report on him, in and out of juvenile detention delinquent centers. And he was 17 when he married my mom on her 15th birthday. And both of them, you know, came from difficult, tragic situations. My mom was an only child. She knew 6 men in her life that she referred to as the father. And so if there was ever a recipe for someone who was most likely never to make it, it was them. And one night, my dad actually was behind bars when my grandfather, his father, went and basically posted bail for him to get out under the condition he would go hear this evangelist speak the gospel, share, preach the gospel, and share his story. So my father went, and that night he gave his life to Jesus Christ. Little did he know, my mom and dad were separated at the time, and little did my dad know that when he was at that service that particular night, my mom was also there. And so he was on one side of the room giving his life to Christ, and my mom was on the other side of the room giving her life to Christ. So here they were, brand new believers, and God did a radical change and transformation in both of their hearts and lives. And then, of course, that led to them restoring their marriage, later having 4 sons. I'm the youngest of 4 boys. My dad was used mightily by the grace of God to see over 1 million people give their lives to Christ under his story, his testimony, his ministry. And my mom, she did the best she could with raising the 4 of us boys, but she did an amazing job. Her and my dad both have 4 sons, and all 4 of us, ordained ministers, have spent, you know, many, many years in the context of full-time ministry. So with all that to say, I mean, it's a great story to encourage any parent or grandparent who maybe has a prodigal son or daughter, or maybe as a parent who just didn't have a good upbringing or positive role models or maybe any spiritual mentors in their lives, I just want to just encourage people that at the end of the day, God can do great things. He can do miracles. He can bring about change in each of our hearts and lives. He can restore broken homes. He can rebirth new dreams, visions, and he's ultimately the one who has a plan. He has a hope and a future for each of our lives. So I just want to encourage parents. I like to say this, Jessica, to any mom and dad out there, whether you're single, whether you're a blended family, whatever the situation and circumstances are, I just want to reinforce the fact that you're doing better than you think you are, and you matter more than you think you do. So I just want to encourage parents to keep on believing, keep on praying, keep on asking God to do what only he can do in and through your family, in and through your children.
Well, amen, Rodney. I mean, that is what we talk about a lot on this show. And I know from hearing from our listeners that there are a lot of families who are breaking generational patterns of abuse and dysfunction and trauma that have happened. And it is always so encouraging to see the impact just one generation away. I mean, the fact that you said that all four boys are ordained ministers is just absolutely unbelievable. And I'd love to hear more about that Christian heritage that's continuing to your generation, to your children, to future generations, and what you're doing in your current ministry now.
Yeah, you know, a passage of scripture that really impacted me a number of years ago, it kind of brought all this, you know, to the forefront of our own family and just seeing the importance of legacy. And I like to say it this way, you know, when we think about inheritance and when we think about, you know, leaving something behind for our children, so often we're thinking about material things, we're thinking about a house or assets or, you know, whatever. But legacy is not so much what we leave for our children, it's what we leave in our children. And I think it's so important for parents to understand that at the end of the day, the only way our children or our grandchildren are ever going to know who God is, the only way they're ever going to know ultimately what God's greater plan and purpose is for our lives is for moms and dads to help teach and to help live by example and to help share the greater story of who God is, the story of God in and through their family. And that's what Psalm 78 talks about. It talks about telling the story of passing down that story from one generation to the next, all the way down to four generations. So I think it's important that we realize that, you know, we have the greatest story that's ever been written. But it's also the greatest story in many ways that hasn't been told in a way that it could or should. So we have to be faithful in telling that story. And that's what we tried to do with our children. My wife, she's a pastor's daughter. She grew up with actually three younger sisters. So she's the oldest of four girls. I'm the youngest of four boys. And so now we have three children and two sons-in-laws, and we have one grandson and another grandson on the way that will be here in May. And we just see now the fruitfulness of that story and that generational legacy being passed down that started with the transformation that I talked about with my mom and dad. The same story in many ways is also very true of my in-laws. And just to see, you know, how God has been faithful and the fruitfulness of us passing down the story, the hope, the gospel, the good news of Jesus to our children, and now watching them pass that on as well. And so it's the story of God, and that's a part of God's plan. He wants us to be able to pass down, you know, to our children and our grandchildren and, you know, to the third and fourth generation, you know, that story of life change and transformation. So it's a great, you know, responsibility we have. At the same time, there's no greater reward that we get to have and experience. As Third John, you know, teaches that no greater joy than seeing our children walking in the truth.
That is one of my favorite verses and what I tell my children all the time, because something that you said really resonated with me just now, Rodney. You know, your book is called Family Shift, and one of the things that you said talked about a shift in mindset. You said it's not what we leave for our children, but what we leave in our children that matters. And I think that bears repeating, because what I see is we see the world's measure of success is that we have to build up our kingdoms here. You know, we want to have more money or more vacations or just more things that are here. And when we have those built up kingdoms here, what I see is that leaves broken down hearts and souls in the hearts of our kids, because that is not what matters. And so hearing your testimony of this legacy of spiritual investment is so, so, so important. And when I look at my own personal story and see broken family relationships, really the thing that has helped me, the thing that has transformed me, is just my faith journey. And that's where I found peace. That's where I found joy and happiness and restoration. And I really, you know, the tagline for this show is prescribing hope for healthy families. And the answer is so simple, but sometimes it's not easy. And you share a story starting off in the book that I found pretty compelling about actually riding a wave runner in Cancun, which is great how God uses these, you know, everyday life experiences to really, you know, although riding a wave runner in Cancun is pretty awesome, I have to say that may not be everyday life experience, but that's pretty awesome. But it can teach us about drifting. So tell us about that story and how God used it to teach your heart about what it meant for families to drift and how families can know if they are drifting.
Yeah, in a nutshell, Jessica, my in-laws, we all went out to Cancun. They had gone there for years. They had a timeshare, and so we all went as a family, and on this particular day, you know, we were going to go do one of these little snorkeling excursions. And so you had to go through this little lagoon, and it's like a little wave runner excursion. So we went out to this area's gorgeous water, you know, just amazing, like a giant bathtub. And so the gentleman that was kind of the guide, he was giving us instructions. And so we were putting on all of our gear, our snorkeling gear, you know, our mask and snorkel and fins, and he said, because we are right here basically in the ocean, he said, you need to practice what he referred to as the check-in, check-out rule. So about every 10, 15 minutes or so, you got to peek your head up out of the water to kind of reorient yourself to make sure that you are aware of your surroundings and where you are at all times, because he said, there's a subtle current. And that current causes you to drift. And before you realize it, if you're not paying attention, you can drift out basically to sea. And he said, that's the reason why you got to poke your head up out of the water to make sure you're aware of where you are. He said, because if you don't check in, he said, eventually you will check out. And so it was kind of that reminder and that visual word picture of kind of where we are in our culture today. We've seen so many people in their spiritual and in the moral lives drifting, and it's a subtle thing. Sometimes we don't wake up and say, oh, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that, but we have so many distractions we're competing with in our world, and now there's so much stuff that's in your face with social media, and there's just so many things that are being challenged, and as a result, a lot of people, and specifically our young people today, they don't know what to believe nor why they should believe it, and you're seeing the cultural voices of influence now causing generational drift that's happening in our homes, it's happening in couples, it's happening in our young people today, and sadly and unfortunately, we're now at a place where we're seeing third and fourth generation of individuals who grew up in non-church, non-Christian homes. So we as a society have drifted so far spiritually and morally, and because of that, we've seen the ripple effect that it's had on marriages, on
You're
our
right.
young people.
Rodney, so you are right. You're right. I'm going to hold you right there, because we are going to provide hope on the other side of this break. We'll keep talking about drifting and if your family's drifting and what you can do about it. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When we hold our newborns for the first time, all the possibilities for their lives flash through our minds. Then, when they become teenagers, reality hits. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Parents dream about their children becoming dancers, football players, and rocket scientists, pop stars, journalists, and politicians. Then one day, mom and dad wake up and realize their teen didn't turn out the way they had always imagined. Have your dreams gotten way off course from reality? Maybe that's not such a bad thing. Proverbs 16:9 says, "In their hearts humans plan their course, but the Lord establishes their steps." God may have a different path for your child than the one that you imagine. So trust in Him, because chances are His plans are a whole lot better than yours.
Want more help from Mark Gregston? Check out his latest resources online at parentingtodaysteens.org.
You're listening to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show with Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, and welcome back to my conversation with Rodney Gage. He is a pastor, a speaker, and a parenting coach, and he's spoken to more than 2 million students in public schools. And today, he is talking to you, to everyone here, all our listeners, and we're so grateful for his story of transformation and the way that God has just blessed his family with a heritage of faith. And you can find hope that if that is you and that first generation who is working to make a different way forward, that is going to pay dividends very quickly. And before the break, we were in the middle of talking about families drifting, which can happen. Sometimes life is so busy, we just get distracted by everything around us and we don't notice that our family is drifting. And in Rodney and Michelle Gage's book, Family Shift, The Five-Step Plan to Stop Drifting and Start Living with Greater Intention, he gives us some symptoms of drifting. He talks about, are you experiencing disappointment where the heartaches of life crowd out the joys of life? Are you experiencing regret with your past failures haunting you? Are you isolated? Either others have pushed you away or you've chosen to push others away so that you'll feel safe. Are you frustrated? Is everything a grind, even the activities that used to bring you joy? And do you find yourself tense and on edge, worrying about what might come next? Now, if you're paying attention, you'll notice those spell out the word drift: disappointment, regret, isolation, frustration, and tension. If that's you, you may be in the need for an intentional family shift. So, Rodney, I'm going to give it back to you and let you finish your thoughts about drifting and start to talk about what this, why you wrote this book to help families who are drifting to have a family shift.
Well, I've even added another D as it relates to to the first D of disappointment, to also just include the whole distraction thing, because, you know, now more than ever, families are very, very distracted. You know, we're busy. Kids are busy. Parents are busy. You know, the domestic life just pulls us in so many different directions, and the families become more fragmented than ever before. And so with all of that in mind, it's easy to drift. It's easy to find ourselves slowly moving in a direction, and it may not be where we want to go or what we're trying to, you know, to obviously, we're not intentional to drift. That's what drifting is. It's unintentional. We drift at times. We don't even know it. But over the course of time, these symptoms that you just referenced really does cause a lot of people to get to a place and they're thinking to themselves, how did we get here? You know, how did our kids end up like this? Or why are we going through what we're going through? Why, you know, why are things so hard for us right now? And I think what many parents and, you know, even couples have to realize is that, you know, even though we drift, those also are opportunities for us to see that as a way to make necessary changes. I like to say it this way: you can't become who you need to be by remaining who you are. So at some point, if you want to see positive change in your life, then we have to make some shifts. We have to do things differently than we're currently doing them, and that's going to require change. It's going to require making some adjustments, and ultimately what we refer to is making five specific shifts in your life. So that's kind of the premise of, you know, it's moving. It's a picture of kind of going one direction that really is not where we want to go, but unintentionally we've ended up there, but now we need to make a change and go the opposite direction of what could be and should be in our life. So that's where the shift actually takes place.
And step one of that shift is starting with the end in mind and having a shift in direction. And I love that you just emphasize over and over again that it's never too late for a fresh start. So for those families who are feeling discouraged and defeated, it is never too late. And you talk about the importance of creating a family mission and vision and values, and especially for anyone and everyone. This includes singles who don't have kids yet, couples who are married but don't have kids yet, and even empty nesters and grandparents. So talk to us about the importance of a family mission and vision.
Yeah, it's everything. The Bible says in Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. So if you don't have a clear sense of direction, if you don't have a clear picture of where you desire to go in your life and who you desire to become, you're not going to naturally get there. We're going to drift somewhere else. We're going to end up at a destination we never intended to arrive in. So you've got to have a clear sense of direction. So I always just encourage families. Listen, at the end of the day, yesterday ended last night. That's so important for people to understand. Yesterday ended last night. So that simply means that tomorrow's pages are blank, and today you have an opportunity to rewrite the script. So just begin with the end in mind. Where do you want to go? What is it that you desire to see happen? Who do you want to become as a husband and a wife, as a mom and as a dad? So once we begin to get a clear understanding of what that picture looks like and where we ultimately want to end up in life on a spiritual level, on a relational level, on a financial level, academic level for our kids, whatever this career path, all of those things, we have to have a clear picture of where we're going. Otherwise, it's not going to happen. So with that, you know, that is very important because that not only gives us a sense of direction that tells us where we're going, but our mission combined with the vision, it helps kind of put fuel in our tank. It's the why behind the what. So mission is all about the why. It is the purpose of your existence as a couple. So for us, our purpose, our mission as a family is by God in every single thing that we do. We just want to be brighter light, saltier salt. We want to stand out from the crowd because we know that's who God has called us to be. That's who we desire to become. So with that, mission and vision are critical for us to ultimately live the life that I believe that God intended for us to live as a couple, as parents, as a family. It's so important, even in life.
And I want to share your specific family vision statement that you shared in this book, Family Shift. You said, our vision is to be a family that lives differently from the norm by standing up and standing out for Jesus so that we will win others to Christ and continue our family's legacy for generations to come. I think it's so powerful when kids see their parents living their lives through this lens of a vision statement, and they all come around that together. There's power in feeling like they're not alone. And there's a common myth that parents think that they don't really have a lot of influence in their kids' lives as they get older, that friends are more influential. But we know from research that that is absolutely not the truth. Now, it may feel like the truth because our kids don't give us that immediate feedback to say, oh, thanks, Mom and Dad, that really influenced my life. Wow. You know, they don't do that. But we know that parents, and especially in the context of having a stronger relationship, the healthier your relationship is with your kids, then the more they are likely to adopt your spiritual values, your worldview, and all of those kinds of things. And I also want to share, Rodney, your Gage family mission statement. You said, because I think there's a lot of listeners out there wondering, like, what does this sound like? The Gage family exists to love, lead, learn, laugh, and live, love God and others the way God loves us, lead by example in order to use our influence to make a difference in people's lives, learn from our successes and mistakes. Failure is never final. Laugh and have fun. Don't take ourselves so seriously. Make others smile and live each day to its fullest. Live with no regrets. Rodney, I would love for you to share kind of across the lifespan, you know, for families who are just starting out, for families who are in the trenches with teenagers right now and feeling like, am I messing up my kid? Are they going to be okay? And those families that have teens that have moved on and now are adult children, how can a mission and a vision be helpful at each of those stages of family development?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it's important, again, to establish, you know, ultimately, again, we like to say it this way, think who before do. So who do we want to become? And then once you establish that, you know, to me, that is a part of just fleshing out some of your core values as a family, clearly defining, you know, where you want to go, where you want to end up in life on, like I said, spiritually, relationally, morally, you know, financially, all aspects of your life. Once we define those things, then here's what that does. I like to say it this way. It gives us a count, they're like guideposts to direct us and their guardrails to protect us. So anytime we find ourselves drifting or anytime we find somebody who is maybe acting out in ways that is a contradiction to that, then we can sit down and say, guys, this is not who we are. Remember, we are a family that's about this. And what that does is it brings a sense of unity together, and it's important that we remind ourselves of who we're striving to become. Doesn't mean that we're there yet. Doesn't mean we're striving for perfection. We're all going to make mistakes. But at least we've established this is who we desire to become, and let's work together with one heart, one mind, one purpose as a family. Let's all support, encourage one another so that we can achieve that. So that's just a part of, you know, doing life together as a family, but also having a roadmap. It's your kind of your North Star, you know, your true north, so to speak, that guides you in everything that you do. So it doesn't matter what age or stage or season of life you're in, everybody needs to have that as a compass for their life.
Well, and often I think as parents, we feel like we have to make some sort of grand gesture. There has to be some sort of, you know, aha moment, some sort of just, you know, life hack that we hear on a radio show like this or something like that. But you encourage families, and I wholeheartedly agree, to start small, to set yourself up for success, to take practical steps forward, and to give yourself grace when you mess up. You said earlier, you know, that we have that tomorrow is fresh with no mistakes in it. That's not biblical, but it is from Anne of Green Gables, which I do like Anne of Green Gables, but she says that quote in there. But we do find the biblical reference to that from Lamentations. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And the Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. That comes from Lamentations 3:22-24. And honestly, Rodney, that is something I cling to as a parent because I know there will be days that I act in my flesh. There will be days that I mess up. There will be days that I fall down and fail. And I know that God provides me those new mercies every morning. So what encouragement can you give for parents who just feel like they're in the grind, they're in a rut, they feel like they're maybe in a season of failure where they're trying but not getting anywhere? How do you start small?
Yeah, I think it's just great to, especially, you know, as a family or even a couple, I always encourage, you know, couples. And, you know, again, there may be single parents that are listening. Set aside some time, you know, whether it's, you know, a half a day or if you can get away on a retreat or whatever, and just spend some time in reflection and go old school, literally get a pen and a yellow pad out and just start writing out things that are important to you. Just start writing out goals, dreams, aspirations. you know, again, define who do we want to become? And then how, what steps do we need to take to get there? We have something we call a vision script, Jessica, that's been so helpful for a lot of families because it kind of gives them a framework to do this. And some of it's in the book called Family Shift, but we actually have a vision script, and we refer to it as a weekly check-in. And it's very simple, and it's just an opportunity for a family to sit down, and they open it up with prayer. And we say, pick the night, you know, if maybe a Sunday night is when you can get everybody's attention. And it doesn't have to be long. It doesn't have to be formal. But it's just taking a few moments. Open up in prayer. We give 5 P's to kind of give some direction or framework to pray over, you know, everyone. And then we talk about highs and lows. Just have everybody just share, you know, highs and lows for the day or the week. And then, you know, map out calendars. We look at, you know, what's going on, who's committed to what, because that tells you a lot related to your commitments as well as your priorities. And usually our commitments will overshadow our priorities. And then it also gives you opportunity to cast vision. Guys, this is who we are, and this is what we're striving to be and who we're wanting to become as a family. And then we reinforce that through telling stories, you know, reinforcing that things are important to us. So you can, just something as simple and practical as that can keep a family on track and keep them moving forward to achieve the vision that they really long to have and experience in their home.
I couldn't agree more, Rodney. We do that same thing in my house. I've got, you know, my kids are 20, 18, 16, and 14, so it's very busy, and everybody has a busy calendar. But I've always said that our calendar and our checkbook or our budget, they really will tell the truth about your priorities. You can talk a good game, but if you look at your calendar, where you're spending your time and where you're spending your money, that is a reality check for where you're putting your priorities. And we also do the highs and the lows. We say, what are the highs and the lows and the where did you goes? And tell me about your day. And as a mom, it gives me a pulse immediately of how my kids are doing, what's bothering them, what I need to follow up on, and how I can pray for them. I can send them prayers based on that. Now, I'm looking in Ronnie's book, y'all, if you're listening in, on page 119, he gives you a little check-in for family goals. What is your family mission? What are your family values? What is your vision? What are your long-term goals? And what are your short-term goals for spiritual, relational, financial, intellectual, and physical categories? And those are questions you can ask yourself. And if you want to know more and you think, this is a journey I want my family to take, pick up your copy of Family Shift. Don't go away, because we're going to tell you about a new book and a free resource you can get when we come back. Why is our society so ravenous to abort babies? According to a former Satanist, the demonic forces have a bloodlust for the innocents, and sickly believe their blood sacrifice empowers evil. Make no mistake. We are fighting a spiritual battle as we protect the most innocent among us, babies in their mother's womb. Preborn stands on the front lines of this battle, and their network of clinics are positioned in the highest abortion areas, often next to abortion mills where unspeakable evil takes place every day. Preborn offers God's love and life to protect hurting women and precious preborn babies. And every time a baby is saved, which happens 200 times a day, good conquers evil. Please make your most generous gift to empower good and rescue precious souls. For just $28, you can sponsor an ultrasound that doubles a baby's chance at life. To donate securely, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
Podcasts of the Dr. Nurse Mama Show are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Dr. Jessica Peck on American Family Radio.
Well, hey, friends, we are talking to Rodney Gage today. He's a pastor, speaker, and parent teen coach. And he and his wife have written a book called Family Shift, the 5-step plan to stop drifting and start living with greater intention. And we've been talking about drifting, how we tend to drift as families. In this culture, we have the best of intentions, but all of a sudden we look around and think, how did we get here? And what happened? We didn't intend for that to happen. So if you're looking for a practical, encouraging, hands-on guide to shift your family's direction, I would encourage you to get that. Now, Rodney also has a new book. It's a re-release of a resource that he had previously that's updated. It's called Why Your Kids Do What They Do, Responding to the Driving Forces Behind Your Teen's Behavior. And he and I obviously share a similar heartbeat for trying to explain why teens do what they do. I'll give you a little spoiler alert. It does have to do with their brain. Their prefrontal cortex doesn't develop until their mid-20s. And so when you say, what were you thinking? The answer is they weren't, because they're not developmentally there yet at that level of thinking. But Rodney has provided a free companion study guide. So when you purchase the book, you can get the companion study guide for free. All you have to do is text the word KIDS, K-I-D-S, to this number, 1-833-213-8957. That's text the word KIDS to 1-833-213-8957. And when you purchase that book, you can get the companion study guide for free. Well, Rodney, I want to go to a place in this book and a place in your family life that was very difficult and that I think a lot of families can relate to when you're just cruising along, feeling like things are going okay, and you just get a curveball. And your family faced that with a health crisis when your son Luke was diagnosed with something unexpected. Can you share with us that journey?
Yes. He was about, probably about 7 or 8 years of age when we learned of his situation. He was playing Little League coach pitch baseball, and I was coaching the team, and, just that season of life that, where everything was just going great, having so much fun and joy at this time in our lives. And one day our son Luke started experiencing some achiness and some really just some challenges with his leg, and he was having a noticeable limp. And super long story short, after lots of doctor's visits and x-rays, and nothing seemingly was giving any clear direction what was going on, and a doctor friend of ours who was an orthopedic surgeon had us come over to his house. And after doing a self-examination there in his home with Luke, he said, I think I have a hunch as to what it is. And sure enough, he was spot on. And it's a disease called leg calf perthes. In the medical space, it's kind of referred to in short as perthes. And what happened was, is we ended up finding a doctor. There's only a few anywhere in the world that really specialized in this. And it's Shriners Hospital in Tampa, Florida. We met with a doctor, and we went in that day, walking in, and left that day with our son in a wheelchair. And he was a candidate for a study. And so, long story short, again, after almost three and a half years of being in a wheelchair, we learned so much as a family. Of course, our life, made all kinds of adjustments. But to God be the glory. The experiment worked, and the clinical trial that Luke was a part of proved to be a positive thing. But all of that to say, it was in that season of all that we went through and what God taught us, and ultimately what God taught our son, it's where he learned to pick up a guitar, and it's where he learned to play the keyboard. It's where he learned to develop a passion for music. And so fast forward today, our son I'm talking about, his name is Luke. He's 24 years of age, and he is a signed singer-songwriter in Nashville, Tennessee, does music full-time now as his career. And that would have never even happened had it not been for that setback that he encountered in spending those 3+ years in a wheelchair. And so we just realized that, you know what? God never wastes a hurt, and sometimes we have to go through pain in order to find our greater purpose. So I just want to encourage families, no matter what setbacks you've encountered, God can take whatever that is, and he can use it ultimately and turn it around for the greater good if we allow him to do so.
I completely agree. And a verse that I share frequently here is Psalm 84:11. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. He gives grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those who walk uprightly. And I'm sure that you would look at that situation at the time, Rodney, and think, how is my son being in a wheelchair for 3.5 years a good thing? But God sees those things, and he can use our pain for another purpose. And it's so interesting even to see, you know, you're writing the book came out of the story of your dad's brokenness, of your parents' brokenness. My story of writing my book, Behind Closed Doors, A Guide to Help Parents and Teens Navigate Through Life's Toughest Issues, came through my own personal story of brokenness. And while I look back at that and see such challenge and such trials and such painful moments, I can honestly look back and say, I wouldn't change it. I wouldn't change the journey that I've had to learn about who God is and who he wants me to be, and that his ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And so if you, that's you and you're in that season and you're thinking, I don't see the purpose yet, just have faith that you will, because God is so faithful to do that. And I think about those things, that no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. So it releases us from having to feel like, okay, well, do I need to pray more? Well, of course you need to pray more, but it's not a if-then kind of transactional relationship with God. It's if you concentrate on doing the best that you can to walk with the Lord every day, he will be faithful in those details. And I love that story. Amen. How wonderful. And who knows if he would have learned to play the guitar like that or the keyboard if he hadn't had those times to sit. Well, Rodney, in this book, you share faith goals that we live by, sharing that they need to be focused, attainable, individual, trackable, and heartfelt. And that's such a good guideline. And there's so many good things in this book. You have 5 steps. We've really only covered 2 of them. But give us an overview of what that journey looks like from step 1 to step 5, kind of what that looks like to set your heart and your mind to be intentional about shifting your family direction and focus and living with intention.
Yeah, Jessica, I mean, I have just tried to help families, you know, really develop a framework. It's like we like to call it, you know, handles and how-tos. So handles to hang on to and some practical steps that we can take. And that's what we've tried to do with this framework that we refer to as the shift. And so it's starting with the end in mind. That's the shift in direction. It is holding to core values. That is that shift in focus. And so that is defining what is most important, you know, in our home as a family, those core values, what I refer to as the non-negotiables that are near and dear to us as a family, that serve as the unshakable foundation that we're going to stand upon as a family. And then the other step as a part of that is what I call finding life-giving relationships. And that's really a shift in friendships. Because whether we realize it or not, we often become who we hang around. It's like Jim Rohn's famous line, you know, we're the average of our 5 closest friends. And so just like the scripture teaches us, when you walk with the wise, you become wise. But if you associate with fools, you get into all kinds of trouble. And as parents, they know that. You know that as all the temptations that are out there. But as the scripture teaches us, bad company corrupts good character. So friendships are like elevators, they're either taking us up or they're taking us down. So it's so important that we monitor friendships. And it's important that our friendships are in our alignment with our vision and mission and our core values that are so important. And then the last thing is what we refer to as teach by example, and that's a shift in purpose. And I think I may have skipped one, and that was the GPS. That was the part that we never got around to, but that was the shift in motivation. That's the identify your GPS. So that's kind of the shift. It is taking those 5 important areas when it comes to our vision, when it comes to our core values, when it comes to our friendships, when it comes to identifying, you know, our personalities, our unique passions, the goals that we have that we long to see become a reality in our home. But at the end of the day, we can teach all this stuff, talk about all this stuff, but at some point we have to teach it by example. In other words, we have to live what we say is important. And that's easier said than done, and we all make mistakes. We're all going to fall short of each other's expectations. Ultimately, we're going to fall short of God's expectations. But with God's help, we can become the family that God desires for us to be. And so those are some simple steps that families, couples can take, parents can take to start kind of maybe refocusing, realigning, making those necessary shifts in their home to get them moving in the direction that they long to experience in their lives.
Well, you said something really important there, Rodney. Our kids are going to do what we do, not what we say. And our faith is caught. It's not taught. And that's so hard for us. And one of the ways that you put it in the book is that your children will become who you are. So be who you want them to be. And I often say, Rodney, that as parents, it's very tempting for us to try to micromanage our kids' behavior. Because if we can get them to do the right thing, it gives us an immediate feedback loop of instant gratification saying, well, then I must be doing okay. I'm a good parent because they're doing what they're supposed to be doing. And we lose sight of the heart. We lose sight of the motivation. And I see so many times as a nurse practitioner who's talking with kids in a confidential setting that, you know, what they're presenting is not what they're feeling and not what they're thinking. And that's why it's so important for us to do all of the work that you've talked about in this book. But we have to do that hard relational work where we're pursuing the heart of our child and not just falling into that trap of micromanaging their behavior. And that is a lot of pressure. Honestly, Rodney, it's a pressure because we are the stewards of their childhood. And I think every parent worries, you know, am I messing up my kids for life? And we have to realize that God has grace for the journey and consistency over time. You know, love covers a multitude of sins. And I'm convinced that that comes from my children because my children, I find, are very gracious. And they're a lot more forgiving than I am. I mean, well, if my husband and I are bickering and we're kind of arguing about something, I can hear my kids piping in and just saying, just say you're sorry, Mom. Like, just say you're sorry. You were wrong. Just say you're sorry and ask for forgiveness. And that's so hard. And they do that so much better than we do, I think, sometimes. And one of the things that you talk about in the book is that, you know, words are only 7% of communication, which I can affirm is true. And the rest is nonverbal. Just reinforcing that whole thought of our actions speak louder than words. And when we see actions in our kids that irritate us, that we just think, oh, it drives me crazy that you do that, I would challenge you as a parent to put a mirror on yourself and think, do I do that? Because they are our imitators. They are our best reflectors and our best heart checks. And so if their tone is sharp, probably your tone is sharp. If they don't seem like they're paying attention to you or being disrespectful, maybe you're not paying attention to them and not being respectful. And that's a hard, hard truth. So how do we balance that, Rodney? How do we balance the pressure of that with the grace of God in that journey?
Well, it is a balancing act for sure. It's just the challenge that we have to give ourselves each and every day as parents who are the leaders and the influencers of our children. And we have to be what we want to see. So in order, if we want to see, you know, our kids live a certain way, then we have to first be that and try to do the best we can to exemplify and model that. That way, what it is that they are actually mimicking is something that is worth repeating. So we just have to, again, challenge ourselves as parents to be what we want to see. But when we mess up and we're inconsistent, then own that and acknowledge that and confess that and let your kids know, hey, what I said was wrong, and I ask for your forgiveness. It's amazing. Kids are so forgiving, and they're willing to embrace our faults. They just want us to be willing to admit them. And so it's the principle of grace and truth, and they both have to be practiced. And You know, I just encourage parents, whatever you do, don't, you know, the scripture says in Galatians 6:9, whatever you do, don't get tired of doing what is good. But just in the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. So parents, don't
if we
quit,
don't give up, sewing. Don't give up.
Yes.
Don't give
keep
up.
Sewing,
well, you can messy. Find out more about that. Yes, you can find out more about that in Rodney and Michelle Gage's book called Family Shift, The 5-Step Plan to Stop Drifting and Start Living with Greater Intention. So I hope that you've enjoyed today's show. It has been so uplifting to me. We will see you right back here tomorrow with another Ask Doc. No, it's Thursday. We'll see you tomorrow on Thursday.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.
Faith, family, freedom. American Family Radio.